Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, blessed Sunday, and good morning to everyone. Just a couple brief announcements before we dive into these beautiful readings this Sunday. We have a lot going on here at our parish, praise God. Many have been wondering what's going on with that archway on the side of the church here, if you notice, especially when you come on this side. Well, we're creating to commemorate the 25th anniversary this year for Our Lady of Guadalupe. We've been celebrating now for 25 years that beautiful procession from the other side of town. We come here and then we have a beautiful outdoor mass and we'll draw nearly 5,000 people here. It's one of the busiest day at the parish. And to commemorate our anniversary, we've been constructing a new custom-made archway, which will have an art piece as well. So it's a work in progress. And we're going to unveil it on that beautiful day, that 20th anniversary. So just keep watching an eye on it. So many people have been asking about, like, what is that thing? What's going on? So that's it. And secondly, if you are a young Catholic under the age of 40, I want you to grab a bulletin because we're launching a new ministry here at the parish, Young Catholic Professionals. It's a nationwide ministry started in Dallas. And a few years ago, they approached the Diocese of Sacramento to start their Sacramento chapter. And so what it is it's a ministry focused on young Catholics who want to take their faith seriously along with their careers. So they want to fuse the two, because oftentimes we tend to divorce ourselves here on Sunday and then me at work. And what this great ministry does is that it marries the two. And so if you are a young Catholic and you want to take your faith seriously and add that to your career path, what Young Catholic Professionals does is that it brings in industry leaders from all aspects of business, and they talk about and they guide and they mentor young Catholics and how to infuse their Catholic faith with their work life. And so it's a great way to network, great way to build one another up as we strive to build the kingdom. So, young Catholics under the age of 40, please grab a bulletin and we invite you to Young Catholic Professionals. And when the bishop was telling us about this, I immediately volunteered our parish. Because if you realize it, we're in a perfect location. We can draw from the Young Catholic Professionals chapters from the Bay Area, from Silicon Valley. We have the Travis Military Base here. We have UC Davis, Sacramento's just a drive here. So we're a perfect hub to draw young Catholics together as we strive to build one another up. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So last Saturday, we had our day retreat. We've been announcing it for weeks, and it finally happened, and many of you were in attendance, and it went off beautifully, greater than we can ever get or plan for. Nearly 250 of our parishioners were there for that day retreat. We brought in speakers, and it was a beautiful day of prayer, fellowship, and delving deeper into our faith as we kick off our new mission statement as a parish. For we strive to be faithful like Mary in all aspects of our lives. And during the Q&A portion of the first talk, was a man by the name of Joshua Charles, a convert to Catholicism. And during the Q&A, I think it was Amy, it was your question, if I remember correctly. But he asked about many of the misconceptions that our non-Catholic brothers and sisters, that our Protestant friends have about us. Because again, what is one of the main accusations? You worship Mary. You idolaters. And it makes sense, right? Especially like you see on that side of the church there's a beautiful image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Many of us have deep love and reverence for our Blessed Mother. And you'll see people there kneeling quietly. You'll see them lighting candles. And when our non-Catholic friends see us doing that, what do they see? See, you're worshiping Mary. Immediately, don't they? Or they'll see us singing songs. So part of our Lady Guadalupe celebrations will be here in here at 4:30 in the morning. And we'll sing what they call mañanitas. We'll have a beautiful image of Our Lady Guadalupe. This church will be packed. And we're singing here just songs to our Blessed Mother. And you're all invited, of course. And we'll feed you right afterwards as well. So. Idol worshipers. And oftentimes we have to tell them, no, we don't worship Mary. We love her. We honor her. We venerate her. And so oftentimes it's frustrating because it seems like we're just talking past each other. And so one of the questions, when we asked him that question, like, what is the heart of this disagreement? And it was absolutely enlightening, his answer. And I learned something that day. It is because our Protestant friends lack a certain category in worship. And this is key, and it's so important for us to learn, especially when we're in dialogue with our Protestant friends. Because if we were to ask them, what is the highest form of worship? What is the highest form of worship? You see, we'll have two different answers. See, our Protestant friends will say, singing songs, Bible studies, all amazing, important things, absolutely. But for us Catholics, we have a different category for highest worship. And it's right here. The sacrifice of the Mass. This is the highest form of worship. It is sacrifice. See, that's a key distinction when we're dialoguing with non-Catholics. And that's the heart of the disagreement. In the 16th century, when Martin Luther began the Protestant revolt, when they broke away from the Catholic Church, Martin Luther threw away the aspect of sacrifice of the Holy Mass. He says what happens here is not a sacrifice, but simply a symbolic remembrance of what Jesus did. But not us. at every single Mass, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is made present. Meaning, the events of the Last Supper, where Jesus takes bread and wine, and he says, "Take this, all of you, eat of it, for this is my flesh, this is my blood." And then it culminates finally on the hill on Calvary, when our Lord offers himself to the Father. So at every single Mass, the Last Supper, Calvary is made present. So we enter into the sacrificial act of Jesus Christ. This is the highest form of worship. And it makes complete sense. Harken back, let's go to the first century. If you were to ask a first century Jew, what is the highest form of worship? They wouldn't say saying their daily prayers or going to synagogue and hearing a rabbi preach on the scriptures. Again, as good as that is, that's absolutely good. But if you were to ask them, what is the highest form of worship? Well, they would tell you the way God told us to worship him. And it is animal sacrifice. Go to Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem is such a contested city? Because in the city of Jerusalem, in front of the Holy of Holies, there was an altar. And upon that altar, the Jews, every practicing pious Jew, would go, because it was commanded by God in Leviticus, go to the temple certain times of the year and offer animal sacrifices in atonement for your sins and your family's sins and for the sins of the entire Jewish people. That was for them the highest form of worship. Now enter Jesus Christ. Do you remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus along the shores of the Jordan River? Ecce Agnus Dei, ecce qui tole peccati mundi. Behold the Lamb of God. You see, what John the Baptist was able to perceive was that Jesus was now the Lamb of sacrifice. All the centuries of animal sacrifices was but a prefigurement, a preparation for the ultimate sacrifice. Now, Jesus enters into the picture. He becomes that lamb. And on Calvary, he would offer himself to the Father. That is what happens at every single Mass. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ we enter into. You see, Paul understood this vision. Going to the second reading today, we have old man St. Paul here. This is grumpy St. Paul. Scarred St. Paul. Because this is St. Paul, listening to him now. My time of departure is at hand, and I have competed well. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. At this moment, when Paul is writing these words, he is in prison, arrested by the Emperor Nero, a crazy emperor, a fanatical, cruel, cruel emperor. Paul knows that his death is close. This is him 36 years after becoming Christian. So St. Paul had that beautiful moment at the road to Damascus around the year 33. When he wrote these words, this is probably around the year 68, 69. So he's been living as a Christian, traveling thousands of miles, proclaiming the gospel and striving to build up the church. Beaten, shipwrecked, tortured, you name it. So this is Paul, who poured out his life, he says here, as a libation A libation is the act of taking a precious liquid, wine, oil, sweet honey, and they would pour it onto the ground in sacrifice. So this is sacrificial language. And Paul says, my life now is sacrifice. And when you're united to Jesus at every single Mass, our suffering, our pain, now becomes united to Jesus. And it becomes part of the sacrificial act. And my friends, this takes place at every single Mass. And once we penetrate this mystery and understanding it well, the Mass takes on radical, profound meaning. This is the beauty of our Catholic faith. And this is utterly amazing. See, it doesn't matter how idiotic the priest is, right? How long-winded we tend to be, or what funny accents we have, right? Like Father Reggie of happy memory. Father Reggie had a thick Indian accent, something that was hard to understand him. Or how about Father Carlos? You know, he serves in our English Masses. He has a thick Nicaraguan accent. I have a thick Northern Californian accent. Or what if Dominic, say he's off key on one particular Sunday, he's just going crazy on the organ. Or what if Ed, doing the first reading today, as he's walking up the steps, falls on his face, and we all get to laugh at him after Mass. You fell on your face. No matter what happens at Mass, the beauty of it, or no matter how you're feeling, you're tired, you're stressed out, and the last thing you want to do is come to church. The beauty of our faith is that it doesn't matter how we feel. And it's so freeing, because so many people chase the adrenaline of spiritual feelings, and the phenomena of church hopping happens. Oh, many people in the Christian world do that. They'll try to find a pastor that they like, and they tend to measure the experience of their Sunday service with how they feel. We're just becoming adrenaline junkies at that point. But the beauty of the Mass is that when we offer it ourselves upon that altar through Jesus Christ to the Father, the highest form of worship takes place. Jesus in the Gospel, and I'll end here. When he speaks about this parable about the tax collector and the Pharisee, notice what he says. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Where did our Lord do that perfectly? On Calvary, where he offered himself completely to the Father. And my friends, this happens at every single Mass.